There are few diseases as deeply intertwined with human history as malaria. From shaping ancient empires to influencing modern global health strategies, this mosquito-borne illness has left a profound mark on the world. While we often hear about malaria in the context of tropical regions, have you ever wondered how a tiny mosquito could bring down armies, influence global infrastructure projects, and even alter the course of history? Or why, despite medical advances, malaria remains one of the world's deadliest diseases? Welcome to Health Square, where today we'll unravel the complex world of malaria, one of the most persistent diseases in human history. I'm Bills, and in this episode, we'll take a closer look at how malaria works, from the parasite's biology to its effects on the human body, and examine the many ways it has shaped civilizations, cultures, and medicine throughout time. We'll also dive into some of the most intriguing and sometimes controversial incidents related to malaria, and explore how myths and misconceptions about the disease still linger today. This episode is packed with everything you need to understand this deadly disease and how the fight against it continues. The physiology of malaria, a parasite's deadly journey. Malaria is caused by a microscopic parasite from the Plasmodium family, transmitted through the bite of an infected Anopheles mosquito. But what exactly happens when this parasite enters the body, and how does it cause such devastation? The journey begins with a mosquito bite. When an infected mosquito bites, it releases malaria parasites in the form of sporozoites into the bloodstream. These sporozoites quickly make their way to the liver, where they silently invade liver cells and multiply. This stage of the infection can last anywhere from a week to several months, depending on the species of Plasmodium involved. After maturing in the liver, the parasites burst out into the bloodstream, where they begin their assault on red blood cells. This is where the symptoms of malaria, fever, chills, fatigue, and headaches start to manifest. Inside the red blood cells, the parasites multiply again, eventually causing the cells to rupture, releasing more parasites and triggering the cyclic waves of fever and chills characteristic of malaria. These cycles of infection and cell destruction are repeated until the disease is treated or leads to more severe complications. In cases involving the most dangerous strain, Plasmodium falciparum, the infection can quickly escalate to life-threatening conditions. One of the most severe complications is cerebral malaria, where the parasites block blood vessels in the brain, leading to seizures, coma, or death. But what makes malaria particularly tricky is the parasite's ability to evade the immune system. It constantly changes the proteins on its surface, making it difficult for the body to recognize and mount an effective defense. This adaptability allows the infection to persist and sometimes recur even after initial treatment. Types of malaria, different strains, different dangers. Malaria is caused by five different species of the Plasmodium parasite, each presenting unique challenges. The most deadly of these is Plasmodium falciparum, which is responsible for the majority of malaria-related deaths worldwide. This strain is particularly prevalent in sub-Saharan Africa and is notorious for causing severe complications, including cerebral malaria and organ failure. Another significant species is Plasmodium vivax, which, while less deadly than P. falciparum, is more widespread, especially in regions like Asia and South America. What makes P. vax dangerous is its ability to lie dormant in the liver for months or even years, leading to relapses long after the initial infection. Plasmodium ovale and Plasmodium malariae are rarer species that generally cause milder forms of the disease. However, like P. vivax, P. ovale has the ability to remain dormant in the liver, potentially leading to relapses. P. malariae can persist in the bloodstream for extended periods if left untreated, sometimes resulting in chronic infections. Lastly, Plasmodium nolisi is a rare species that primarily infects monkeys but can also cause severe illness in humans. It is mainly found in Southeast Asia and, although uncommon, can lead to serious health complications if contracted. Each of these species presents different risks and challenges, which makes accurate diagnosis and tailored treatment essential for effective malaria control. The history of malaria, a disease that shaped the world. Malaria's influence extends far beyond its physical toll. Throughout history, it has shaped the rise and fall of empires, altered the outcomes of wars, and hindered the development of entire regions. The name malaria comes from the Italian words mala aria, meaning bad air. This name arose because for centuries, people believed that the disease was caused by the foul air found around swamps and marshes. The Greeks and Romans had an intimate understanding of malaria, though they didn't know what caused it. Some historians even suggest that malaria outbreaks contributed to the fall of the Roman Empire. Fast forward to the late 19th and early 20th centuries, malaria played a pivotal role during the construction of the Panama Canal. The canal project was nearly abandoned due to the high mortality rate among workers from both malaria and yellow fever. It was only after Dr. William Gorgas implemented groundbreaking mosquito control measures based on the research of Sir Ronald Ross and Dr. Carlos Finlay that the canal could finally be completed. This demonstrated that malaria could be controlled through targeted efforts to reduce mosquito populations, a discovery that revolutionized global health practices in tropical regions. Famous figures in malaria, kings and leaders, weren't immune. Malaria doesn't discriminate. It has touched the lives of kings, leaders, and ordinary people alike. Some historians believe that malaria may have played a role in the death of Alexander the Great, who fell ill after a military campaign in the malaria-prone region of Mesopotamia. Similarly, George Washington suffered several bouts of malaria throughout his life, as did Abraham Lincoln during his early years in Illinois. During World War II, malaria became a major concern for troops stationed in the South Pacific. Both Allied and Axis forces suffered from debilitating outbreaks, forcing military leaders to prioritize the development of anti-malarial drugs. Quinine, and later synthetic anti-malarial drugs like chloroquine, became crucial tools in saving soldiers' lives and influencing the outcome of battles. Interesting facts about malaria, insights beyond the disease. Did you know that sickle cell anemia, a genetic condition, offers some protection against malaria? In regions where malaria is endemic, people with the sickle cell trait are less likely to suffer severe symptoms. The malaria parasite struggles to thrive in the abnormally shaped sickle cells, giving those with the trait a survival advantage. Another fascinating fact is that mosquitoes are more attracted to some people than others. Body odor, carbon dioxide levels, and even blood type can influence how attractive you are to mosquitoes. Studies show that people with type O blood are more likely to get bitten, which unfortunately puts them at a higher risk of contracting malaria in regions where the disease is prevalent. Myths and misconceptions about malaria. One widespread myth is that malaria only affects tropical regions. While malaria is most common in sub-Saharan Africa, Asia, and parts of South America, it once plagued Europe and North America as well. In fact, malaria was common in the United States well into the 19th century, and it wasn't eradicated there until the 1950s. The combination of mosquito control and climate factors helped eliminate the disease from many regions, but climate change and global travel have raised concerns about the potential for malaria to reemerge in previously malaria-free areas. Another misconception is that once you've had malaria, you become immune. While some people who live in malaria-endemic regions may develop partial immunity after repeated exposure, this immunity is neither complete nor permanent. People can still be reinfected by different strains or by dormant parasites that have remained in their liver. Treatment and prevention, how we fight malaria today. The fight against malaria has come a long way, but it's far from over. Anti-malarial drugs such as artemisinin-based combination therapies, ACTs, are the frontline treatments, especially for Plasmodium falciparum infections. However, drug resistance is becoming a growing problem, particularly in Southeast Asia, where the malaria parasite has started to show resistance to the most commonly used treatments. Preventing malaria is as much about stopping mosquito bites as it is about treatment. Insecticide-treated bed nets, ITNs, and indoor residual spraying, IRS, have been highly effective in reducing the transmission of malaria. These interventions are particularly important in rural, malaria-endemic regions where access to healthcare may be limited. One of the most exciting developments in the fight against malaria is the RTS-SAS01 vaccine, or Mosquirix. In 2021, the World Health Organization approved the vaccine for widespread use in children in sub-Saharan Africa. While not a cure, the vaccine is a major step forward in reducing malaria mortality, a especially among young children who are the most vulnerable to the disease. Conclusion: the long battle against malaria. Malaria remains a serious public health challenge, especially in low-income regions. However, thanks to global efforts, scientific advancements, and targeted mosquito control, the dream of eradicating malaria is closer than ever. Thank you for joining me on Health Square today. I hope this episode has given you a deeper understanding of malaria, its history, and the ongoing fight to control and eliminate it. Stay informed, stay protected, and let's continue supporting the global effort to defeat this deadly disease.